Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Old Testament lesson from 1 Kings chapter 17, but also from our gospel reading from Mark chapter 13. Well, this morning I want you to think about something. What is the one thing that you don't want to run out of? Think about it. What's something that you never want to go empty? Or maybe look at it another way. What's the one thing that you would want to have remain full all the time? Now, if you're parched this morning needing to wake up, you might be thinking, that'd be my cup of coffee, right? I want that thing to never run empty. I want that full all the time. Maybe it's something else. Who knows? Maybe it's your energy level. See these kids running back and forth, and you're like, oh, gosh, if I only had that. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's your bank account. You want to make sure that you have something in there all the time. Or maybe as you got in your car this morning, let it run a little bit longer, you want that gas tank to always be full. But have you ever run out of any of those things? Yeah, sometimes we have to admit that, you know, maybe once or twice some of those things did run out. But isn't that the world in which we live? Things run out. Nothing stays full. We have to go to the gas station. We have to go to work to make sure we get a paycheck so that we can put it into our bank account. Maybe we have to wait on that Social Security check to come rolling in and get automatically deposited. Well, we budget ourselves, right? To make sure that we don't run out of money. That's something that we do. And, well, we need to eat, get plenty of rest, so that energy level is there. How many of you watch your grandkids once in a while? Your energy level goes down, right? You sleep well at night, don't you? Heard that already this morning. But yeah, that's the way we are. Eventually, everything goes empty. Well, that leads us into our Old Testament lesson for today, where we have a widow who is about to run out of food. Well, let's take a look. Well, first we need to understand a little history here. We've got why is Elijah the prophet going up to this little town? Well, this little town happens to be near Sidon. And what's going on in Israel at the time? Well, King Ahab, well, he had married someone. And guess who she was? King Ahab married Jezebel, and she is from Sidon. Her dad's the king up there. And the people up there around Sidon, well, who do they worship? Well, they worship Baal. And so what did Jezebel do? Well, when she got married to King Ahab, she encouraged him. It's like, hey, this is a good thing up here. You need to worship Baal. So he started doing it. And well, what happens when your leader begins doing something? Well, the people follow. And so the people of Israel started worshiping Baal too. And so God was sending his prophets time and again to tell them to stop this behavior, and they wouldn't listen. And so finally, they got up to here with God, and he's like, that's enough. So he's going to send a drought. And that he did. So in the meantime, he's telling his prophet Elisha, it's like, hey, got a drought coming. You need to get out of town. I want you to go up to Zarephath up there, and I'm going to take care of you. So that's where he went. Now, as Elijah is arriving there outside of town, well, he sees a widow out there collecting sticks, and so he goes up to her and he says, hey, you know, could you make me a little cake to eat and get me something to drink? And she replies, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug, and now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. She knows good and well that after she makes this, that's it. No more food. Obviously there, no more resources there to go buy more food. It's over. She's saying, it's like, hey, I make this, just going to sit around and starve to death, and that's going to be the end of things. But yet, what was it that the Lord God said to Elijah? It's like, hey, I'm going to send you up here to a widow, and she's going to take care of you. So Elijah says to the woman, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, The jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. Now, our first thought is, really? She go do that? I mean, common sense tells you that when you get to the jar there and you see there's only like a cupful, a handful of flour in there, that when you pour it out, is there going to be more in there? No. Really? What's she thinking about doing that right now? Going to pour it all out? There's not going to be anything left. Sure. Let's go to our gospel reading now. There we have another widow. Similar circumstances going on here. Well, here Jesus is hanging out with his disciples, and he's sitting there opposite the treasury watching people put in their offerings. And now all of a sudden the camera zooms in here on this widow. She's got these two small coins, just worth a penny. She puts those in the offering. What she's put in there is kind of like loose change that we see there on the ground. If there's a penny there, how many of you bother to pick it up? Maybe if it's a shiny penny, you might. But if it's not, if it's kind of a cruddy looking thing, you just leave it there. And, you know, you don't think twice about it. The rich people here have been putting in all kinds of stuff in there. They wouldn't think twice about picking that up. You know, they just get in their car and go on. See that poor woman there? They wouldn't give her a second thought. Really? This woman here? Jesus said it. It's like, she put in more than all the rest there. She put in all that she had. What was she thinking? She's not going to have any money now for groceries. Nothing for heat. Really? And so Jesus said, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who were contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Now, what's tying these two passages together? You see, both accounts here of these widows are teaching us the same lesson, that God uses scarcity as a doorway to trust. Let me repeat that. God uses scarcity as a doorway to trust. In other words, we have limited means, and God's going to use those limited means so that we might rely on Him more, that we might trust in Him more. The first widow, she obeys. She goes in there, makes him a cake, and then what? Makes herself some too. And what did it say there in Scripture? That they were able to eat for days. Every time she needs something, just pour it out. Kept coming every time. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened to the other widow. But the point is being made here very clear by Jesus. The fact that she's saying that she gave everything that she had to live on. You see, what the point being made here is this. When we trust in the Lord, there is always enough. When we trust in the Lord, there's always enough. Now, sure, that's easier said than done, but it should come as no surprise that God there, when you look in the Bible, uses scarcity as a way to build trust with the people all the time. Good instance there. What happens? The children of Israel coming out of Egypt there, they're wandering around out there in the wilderness, and now they get to the point where food is scarce, running out of food. So the people start complaining, and you know, Moses is like, God, what are you doing? And he's like, hey, trust in me, and he provides manna. They're wandering around out there again, running out of water. What happens? God says, hey, go take your staff, hit that rock over there, and you're going to get water. Really? Rock. Water's going to come out of a rock. Hits the stone, water comes gushing out. Okay, a couple Old Testament instances here. What about the New Testament? You know, well, Jesus is out there teaching, you know, and his popularity is great, so people come flocking, and so then it's the end of the day, and the disciples come up to Jesus and says, hey, you know, send these people home, you know, they, you know, send them down to some buffet, old country, you know, some buffet there, you know, get them something to eat, because we don't have anything. Jesus is like, no, you feed them. Really, Jesus? So they go wandering around, what do they find? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that some little boy has. Jesus prays, and what? Thousands are fed. You know, when it comes down to it, God is not the problem. We are. So it is with us here and our trust with God. When it comes to life on this earth and life forever in heaven, Jesus is always enough. That's the struggle that we have at times. Because we're thinking, really? The life of one man on the cross up there is enough to save millions, billions of people? Really? Well, what about the fact that, well, Jesus was perfect? We're not perfect. He was perfect? Yeah. He became the perfect sacrifice. It was his life offered up there on that cross. And he died, earning forgiveness of sins for all who would believe. See, Jesus didn't come here to this earth just to multiply food every time our stomachs need to be fed. No, he came to this earth to make sure and satisfy our need so that our eternal days would never run out when we go to be with him in heaven. You see, if he's taking care of our spiritual needs, that they're secure forever and ever, he's going to take care of our physical needs too. And that's good to know. Because there are times in which, you know, our lives are called upon to act. And as we're focusing on this here today, it's about the ministry that's going on here at Trinity. God has given you your life and some resources to support that life. But so, too, we are also called upon, like the widow in the Old Testament, to share what we have. And like the widow in the gospel reading, to give offerings to the Lord. Where do we fit in? Well, we look at what we have. You might be thinking, well, things are looking a little scarce here. You know, you start thinking, it's like, well, you know, my kids are getting older here. We've got college coming up. One of my daughters is getting married. Where are we going to do that kind of thing? You know, it's interesting coming up here. In other places in the country, you know, I get folks come up and say, hey, you know, we're going to want to get married here. And so, like, can we do that in about 6 months? Well, here it's at least a year or two out. Why? Got to save up for those things, and two, make sure you have a venue to go for the reception. Yeah. Things are getting a little tight. Things are getting a little scarce. And now you're asking me, what? To give? Well, when it comes to Consecration Sunday, and again, the scripture readings that we have, part of the pericopes, show up this time of year in November. So that's why we have it here at this time. But when we're looking at it here, it's not, you know, looking at your neighbor about what are they going to give, it's their turn, that kind of thing. No, it's all about what you're going to give and your relationship with the Lord. What is the Lord calling you to give? That's what it's all about. And there's a definite need that we have right now. And it's time to consider how you can help out with that need. See, sometimes, and perhaps it's this time for you, when things seem scarce, and maybe you're thinking that things are already on empty, or pretty close to that, what do I do? But what, again, was the common thing with both widows? When we trust in the Lord, there's always enough. So it is today. Ask yourself the question, what is the Lord calling you to give? And indeed, it is a matter of trust. And shortly, you're going to have an opportunity there to answer that very question in a very real way when we turn in our estimate of giving cards. We need to remember that we need not fear scarcity. We need not fear scarcity. Why? Because we have a God who is rich in abundance. When we put our trust in the Lord, when we put our trust in Jesus, we can be sure that no matter what the circumstances are, there will always be enough through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.